There are new calls to close Brazil's Congonhas Airport. Luis Gallo says Eads will diversify. And another wheel well stowaway is found in a 747. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, July 20th, 2007. The case of a TAM Airlines A320, which overran a runway and crashed at Sao Paulo's Congonhas Airport last week, has prompted calls by Brazil's Federal Public Ministry for the airport to be closed until its runways can be renovated. 200 people died in the accident on Tuesday, on a runway criticized for being too short for use by the airliners and for having poor drainage. Video footage shows the plane traveling down the runway at a speed which suggests the pilot may have attempted a go-around. There's no word yet on whether cockpit and data recordings can confirm that suspicion. The Associated Press reports that federal prosecutors have asked for a court order to try and force the airport's closure, but airport officials say Congonhas should not be opened and closed indiscriminately. Luis Gallo, who will become the sole CEO at Eads, says the company must diversify to avoid overdependence on Airbus. A report in Forbes says the company will accomplish the change through acquisitions and new developments, but Gallo offered no specific predictions or announcements. He did say that every time the euro appreciates by 1 cent against the U.S. dollar, it costs Eads 100 million euro in operating profit. Co-CEO Tom Enders has said that if the euro were to reach $1.40 U.S., the Power 8 restructuring plan would not be sufficient to stem losses at Eads. But Gallo says there is no Power 9 plan on the horizon. As for the management changes at Eads, Gallo said only decisions at or above the 500 million euro level now require consultation between French and German stakeholders. Complicated consensus gathering had been criticized as a cause of delays in getting the current restructuring effort moving. A body thought to be that of an Asian man in his 50s was found in the wheel well of a United 747 that landed Thursday morning at San Francisco International Airport after a flight from Shanghai. Airport spokesman Mike McCarron told the San Jose Mercury News that the body was found during a post-flight inspection by mechanics. The coroner was trying to determine whether the man died from exposure, lack of oxygen, or from crushing injuries caused by the plane's nose gear. The Boeing 747 cruises at an average altitude of 35,000 feet, where temperatures can reach minus 50 degrees Fahrenheit or colder. McCarron said that identifying the body will be difficult since he was a foreign national. Two Seattle, Washington reporters are said to be among the recipients of emails containing confidential Boeing documents leaked by a former Boeing employee. According to the charges against him, 45-year-old Gerald Eastman is a former quality assurance inspector working in Tukwila who downloaded 320,000 pages of Boeing documents to a portable data drive, then put them on his home computer. Eastman calls himself a whistleblower, seeking to expose corruption at Boeing and the FAA. But among the leaks attributed to him are documents supporting six stories in the Seattle Times about the site selection process for the 787 Dreamliner. Boeing says it fired Eastman in 2006 after discovering he was the source of leaks dating back to 2001. The company says the documents stolen contained competitive secrets worth up to $15 billion. The Seattle Post-Intelligencer reports that Eastman has been charged with 16 counts of unlawfully accessing a computer to steal company information. He could face 57 months in prison. Up next on ANN, a 1939 Spartan executive is damaged before it can appear at Oshkosh. NTSB finds an Atlanta incursion even scarier than first thought. And a pilot walks away from the wreckage of his water bomber. You're listening to Aero News.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 400 is a fire-breathing turbocharged four-seater that carries 1,100 pounds and cruises 235 knots with a next-generation Avidyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. As high as flight level 250, way above most weather, and a max range of 1,300 nautical miles, the Columbia 400 is the kind of plane you deserve, whether you're a businessman on the go or a Sunday flyer in a hurry to his next great adventure. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or the turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144. Check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, You'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ-2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 20th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Sadly, there will be one less aircraft vying for the National Aviation Hall of Fame's Best of the Best People's Choice Award at AirVenture Oshkosh this year. The Experimental Aircraft Association tells ANN the 1939 Spartan Executive, slated to be one of six restored vintage airplanes in that competition, sustained extensive damage in a landing mishap in South Dakota Friday morning. Owners Kent and Sandy Blankenberg of Groveland, California, were landing at Sioux Falls Regional Airport when, according to a report in the Sioux Falls Argus Leader, one of the landing gear apparently collapsed, causing the plane to spin about 150 feet off the runway. The good news is there were no injuries, and Kent and Sandy still plan to drive to AirVenture, according to EAA, but it only leaves five contenders for the first annual Best of the Best People's Choice Award competition. They include the Lockheed P-38 Glacier Girl, a Piper L-4, a Fairchild KR-21, a Grumman Duck owned by Chuck Greenhill, and a Waco ATO. The investigation by the National Transportation Safety Board into a near miss at Atlanta July 11th reveals that the incident was even closer than first reported. First word was that an arriving Delta 757 had to abort a landing when the pilot of a United Airbus A320 missed a turn while taxiing and entered the runway. Now, NTSB says the Delta flight already had its wheels down on the runway when the crew got the warning from the tower to go around. Officials say the jets, carrying a total of 300 people, came within 100 feet of each other. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reported that in the 12 months ending May 31st of this year, Atlanta Hartsfield-Jackson saw three runway incursion incidents, two of them blamed on pilots, one blamed on an air traffic controller. A pilot walked away from the crash of a single-engine AT-802A tanker plane while fighting a fire near Winnemucca, Nevada on Tuesday. Jamie Thompson of the U.S. Bureau of Land Management told the Associated Press, quote, "Other than being pretty well soaked with slurry and aviation fuel, he was okay. They cleaned him up and sent him home," unquote. The plane was based in Missoula, Montana. The pilot has not been identified. A Florida teacher got off with probation and a small fine after a 1999 arrest for driving under the influence. Now she's in much bigger trouble, facing 20 years and $250,000 for felony interference with a flight attendant and assault on a fellow passenger on Tuesday afternoon. Official documents cite witness reports that 55-year-old schoolteacher Valjean Margurier had been drinking on AirTran Flight 904 from Atlanta to Newport News. She allegedly became agitated, grabbed and shook the arm of another passenger, then hit an intervening flight attendant in the face. Police were waiting at the gate, and the FBI is handling the subsequent investigation. The indictments were handed down Wednesday by a grand jury. Still ahead, FAA is making progress with employee labor agreements. A weakening dollar increases costs for space tourists. And the FAA identifies the mystery metal which fell through a New Jersey roof. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
Hey, if you're into airplanes the way I am, you have got to see this new TV show. I'm Tom Gresham, and I'm the host of Wings to Adventure Television. It's on the Outdoor Channel, and we shoot it all in high definition. Listen, we go to great fly-in destinations. We show wonderful airplanes, whether it's the latest glass panel composite speedster or a really cool old antique cloth cover deal. I mean, it doesn't matter. We're into airplanes the same way that you are. It's called Wings to Adventure. It's on the Outdoor Channel. Check it out at wingstoadventure.com.
We're back to wrap up your aero briefing for Friday, July 20th, 2007. I'm Paul Platt. It isn't often we see the terms FAA, NATCA, and agreement in the same sentence. We should probably enjoy it while we can. The FAA announced on Wednesday it signed an employment agreement with the National Air Traffic Controllers Association covering about 1,200 engineers and architects who plan, design, and install equipment used to administer the national airspace system. Negotiations took 9 months, and the agency reports the agreement was overwhelmingly ratified by the union membership. This makes the second voluntary agreement the FAA has reached with labor unions representing agency employees in the past several months. A national agreement was signed on May 24th with the National Association of Government Employees Local, covering over 200 assistants supporting air traffic operations in terminal and en route facilities. As a result of these two labor agreements, the FAA will increase the percentage of employees in its pay-for-performance plan to 84%. Blame it on a weak U.S. dollar. Cost of a trip to the International Space Station on board a Russian Soyuz spaceship early this year was $25 million. Now, trips planned in 2008 and 9 will cost between $30 and $40 million. The AP reports that the U.S. dollar is worth about 25 Russian rubles. That's down from 32 rubles in 2002. Space Adventures brokers trips with Russia's space agency. So far, the company has arranged 5 trips at $20 to $25 million each. There are 2 more seats available for 2008 and 2009. After NASA's space shuttles are grounded in 2010, competition for available seats aboard the Soyuz vehicles will increase, so watch for the possibility of even higher prices then. A man was sitting in his living room watching TV Tuesday in Bayonne, New Jersey, minding his own business, when he heard what sounded like a crash and saw a cloud of dust. In another room, he found a piece of gray metal, 3.5 by 5 inches, with 2 hexagonal holes in it. He had no idea what it could be. Consulted experts were also stumped. New Jersey Transit, NASA, the FAA, and even the military looked at the piece and said they had no idea what it was. Finally, FAA spokesman Jim Peters says a colleague solved the mystery on Wednesday. The object turned out to be part of a commercial-grade wood chipper. Apparently, there had been a similar incident last year involving the same type of part and the same type of confusion. Peter said the part was going to be returned to the Bayonne Police Department. And finally, what's that up in the sky? It's a bird. It's a plane. Actually, it's both. RoboSwift is a remarkable unmanned aerial vehicle the size of a bird. It's designed to mimic the shape of the wing of the common swift, one of the bird kingdom's most efficient flyers. Dutch aerospace engineering students helped design RoboSwift, which can stay aloft for an hour on its lithium polymer batteries and is intended for surveillance and traffic watch use. Remarkably, RoboSwift can follow a group of real swifts, opening new doors for biological researchers. I wonder if the birds will know it's a robot. And that's the latest from Aero News. Our special feature is off today, but join us for our extensive print, audio, and video coverage of EAA AirVenture Oshkosh, beginning over the weekend. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. You'll find them on iTunes, Yahoo, and Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.